All right, welcome back to the Chris the Freelancer podcast. Today I'm here in Manila, the Philippines. It's actually my last day in Manila. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see me, or on Spotify video, you can see me. I'm just in my apartment here in Makati. We'll talk a bit more about the different areas of Manila in this video. But basically, today, guys, I want to go over my experience in Manila. I went and did something similar for the last podcast episode where I talked about Istanbul. My experience there. I spent about a month in Istanbul and I just finished up, or will be finishing up tomorrow, 28 days here in Manila. So I thought, why not share my experience with you guys so you can learn a little bit about what the digital nomad lifestyle is like, or the lifestyle as a location independent person is like here. Decide whether you want to come here, and if you do, gain valuable tips for when you're here. So how did I end up in Manila? Basically, I was in Vegas and I wanted to get back to Southeast Asia. So I looked at my options and there was a direct flight from LAX to Manila. I think the other options, there was like Seoul, Korea, Tokyo, I think I could have gone direct to Singapore as well. But out of all the options for direct flights to Asia, Manila was the most appealing to me. The Philippines is a country that I've been looking at going to for a significant amount of time. Obviously, spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. I've been to Cambodia, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam. So I've been in this area for a long time, but I've never actually gone to the Philippines. And now I was looking at the options from where to fly out from the US, and I was like, let's try the Philippines finally. All right, so I booked my flight, but not before I went and got a COVID test in Newport Beach to get a negative COVID test, because that is actually a requirement as of September and August when I arrived to get into the Philippines. Now, obviously, these COVID things change really, really quickly. But at the time I booked my flight, which was late August 2022, that's when I had to book a negative COVID test or book a COVID test and get a negative result within 48 hours of my flight. So I didn't want to take the risk. So what I did was I waited until I got my negative COVID test result, and then I booked the flight to the Philippines, to Manila, right after. Okay, so that is the requirement if you're not fully vaccinated with a booster. This is the first country I've been to where a booster has been required, but there's not many other countries where you need a booster. So I've had two doses. To me, that should be enough. I've just traveled all of Europe and been to the States before this. And yeah, nobody requires you to be, that I've been, requires you to be any more than double dosed. So that's a bit weird. If you are double dosed with a booster, you don't need to do the negative COVID test before flying, before entering. And the other thing that you're going to need to get into the Philippines is an onward travel ticket. So I didn't know this ahead of time, or I was hoping they weren't going to ask. So I arrived to the airport without one of these. I was asked at the check-in counter to proceed and book something last minute. So luckily for me, I booked a cheap flight to Kota Kinabalu, which is just in Borneo, not very far. And it was like $80 Australian or something. I didn't book it with any baggage or anything because I had no intention of taking the flight. And then I was lucky because a few weeks later, they said that it got moved and that I could cancel for a refund. So I know a few people reached out in the on Instagram or wherever and saying like, oh, don't you use one of these onward travel apps or hacks? And honestly, it's been a while since I've had to deal with this problem. So I was just like, screw it. I'll just like book a cheap flight straight away. So keep that in mind. You may need a booster. Well, currently you need a booster or a negative COVID test. And you also need an onward travel ticket to get into the Philippines. All right, so let's talk about once you arrive at the airport. I always, no matter where I go, I'm looking for cash, I'm looking for a SIM card, and I'm looking for transportation to my hotel. So I was happy to find that in Manila, this is all pretty easy. So there were ATMs that I could go to. They worked with my card, took out 10,000 pesos, went to the Globe/Smart Counter. These are the like two main companies. And I did my research and found out that they're virtually the same. So, and the funny thing is they're like right next to each other, offer the same deals, and apparently use the same network. So it really doesn't matter which one you choose. I was gonna go with one. And then after I found the ATM, I found another one. And so I just went with them. I think it was Globe. I don't even remember which phone plan I was, but Globe or Smart, both of them are at the airport. And then what you wanna do is you wanna download Grab, which is like the equivalent of Uber in Southeast Asia, and book yourself a Grab to the hotel. I think mine was about $7 to get from the airport to my condo here, which is in Bel Air, Makati. Okay, so let's talk about areas in Manila, because I just mentioned Bel Air, Makati. I've spoken to so many different people who've been to Manila over the years, and the names Makati and BGC are the only names that come up in the digital nomad circle. And I can verify after being here for weeks that yes, indeed, those are the two places, the only two places you will want to stay. Within Makati, you've got basically like here in Bel Air, and you've got Poblacion. Poblacion is like, I was trying to figure out how to describe Poblacion, but it's like you've got the seediest street in Manila there. So like, you know, like kind of like your Loy Crow Road or your Bangla Road in Patong Beach, or your, what's the one called in Pattaya, Walking Street, something like that. You know, the seedy streets where you can go into bars and pay for women's attention and maybe a little bit more. So you've got that there. So keep that in mind. You've got your sports bars. It's more of like a tourist, like white guy tourist, like place, right? So, I visited my friend who was staying there, but I wouldn't actually recommend staying in Poblacion unless, of course, that's your vibe. I would rather stay in where I'm staying, which I was pleasantly surprised with, called Salcedo Village. So it's this like village within Bel Air, Makati. And it's kind of a businessy area. And there's so many restaurants within walking distance. There's the Salcedo Weekend Market here every Saturday. And the most important thing for me, which was the WeWork, which is just a 10-minute walk from my place. It's funny. Here in the Philippines, I mentioned to so many people, oh, I'm going to the WeWork. Oh, there's a WeWork here. And in, I guess, Filipino fashion, they would not respond with confusion or be like, oh, what's that? They would just pretend like they understood. But the funny thing is, like, most people I spoke to had no idea what a WeWork is. So for those of you who don't know, WeWork is the most famous co-working brand in the world. And it's kind of like, it's one of those brands that's synonymous with what it is. So like when you say I'm booking an Uber, you know, you use the brand name. So instead of saying there's a co-working space, I just say there's a WeWork, right? I really wanted to get back into work this month because the last few months hadn't been productive since Turkey, which I'll mention in a new video coming out soon. I'll talk more about that. But for here in Manila, it was really good to be able to be 10 minutes walk or less from a WeWork over in RCBC Plaza. There's two more WeWorks in BGC, so I would also recommend those as well. I tried out one there in Minaso Tower, I think it's called. And so, yeah, I would definitely recommend WeWork. You know, one of the big problems with the Philippines is the internet, and you know you're going to get good internet out of WeWork. So, I would recommend WeWork as a side note. But getting back to the areas, BGC is more like the modern area. But Makati or BGC, you can't really go wrong. It still is the Philippines, so sometimes your apartment might have shit internet. Sometimes there might be things that are slight things that are wrong with it. I know there's slight things that are wrong with this condo and this condo building. But yeah, you definitely want to stay in either Makati or BGC. And if you want to stay in this same area that I stayed, it's called Salcedo Village, Salcedo Village. Definitely recommend. All right, so let's talk about my impressions of Manila. On first impression, I was trying to figure out like what kind of city like would this like if I was to compare it to somewhere, where would I compare it to? And I think the closest city I've ever been to that's like Manila is Kuala Lumpur. But you could say it's kind of like a Kuala Lumpur mixed with a Bangkok if you've never been here before and you've been to those places. But one of the things that like really like frustrated me, or was like, oh no, not this again, is back to the land of masks. You know, just I went from Bangkok, which is like masks everywhere, to Europe, which is like masks virtually nowhere. You know, I think most of the flights I took in Europe, I didn't have to wear a mask. Turkey was completely mask free. Portugal only on public transport. Unheard of in Croatia and Montenegro. Spain, fine. Morocco, I'm pretty sure was fine. England's wide, like UK is wide open, no masks whatsoever. So it was frustrating to come back here and everyone is so damn pedantic about this mask situation. So people, you start walking on the streets and there's people, most people are wearing masks on the street outdoors. And I think it was actually mandated to wear a mask outdoors up until recently, yet still people are wearing masks outdoors. It frustrates me because I've been around the world and this is not how most of the world's doing it. And I was under the impression that the pandemic was over now. It's frustrating. So we'll see what Thailand's like now, because I went to Bangkok earlier in the year. I feel like the longer the pandemic goes on, the less relevant this mask thing is, but we'll see. Hopefully they get rid of it eventually. Some of my other impressions, Filipinos are some of the shortest people I've ever seen. I remember walking into a Jollibee and I was just towering over everyone else. To put it in perspective, I'm 5'11". And the average height of a Filipino female is 5 foot, which I find crazy, which means like it suggests that half of their population are under, female population are under 5 foot. And I think for men, it's like 5'4" or 5". So, I just noticed I was towering over everyone a lot of the time. And also that the population seems to be quite homogenous. Like everyone seems to be, not everyone, but like the majority of people by a long stretch are Filipino or look ethnically Filipino. So I found that being white in Manila was quite rare, rarer than I thought it was going to be. Back to, you know, sort of Manila, the city itself, the tourist activities you're going to find in Manila are virtually nothing. So like this is the reason why people skip Manila and go straight to the islands. I thought it was because Manila was a hole, like it was dirty, it was crappy. It's not actually that dirty and crappy when you stay in BGC and Makati. So like the city is nice in the nice areas, but it's just there's like nothing to do apart from regular city stuff. Like you can go to a nightclub, you can go to dinner, you can go to cafes, you can do all the regular city stuff, but there's literally nothing new to see here. There's not even an iconic building in Manila. So I mentioned there's virtually nothing. The only thing you're going to want to see touristic wise when you're in Manila is called Intramuros. It's the old Spanish city. But if you've been to like historical landmarks in Europe, this is not going to impress you. I'll just be honest with you. I paid, you know, entry fees to go see stone walls that were covered in moss. You know, like it wasn't anything that impressive, I must say. which again is the reason why people skip Manila. Yeah, there's also like the oldest Chinatown in the mall, but I was like asking myself when I was there, am I here? Because it's just like a regular sort of, felt like a regular Filipino area, but with just a bit more Chinese decorations. And people were looking at me funny, like why I was there. So not very touristic at all. And even in Intramuros, you're not seeing like tourists going around with cameras and stuff. At least not, if they're tourists, they're more like Asian tourists, you know. Maybe this is partly due to the pandemic, I don't know, but like I didn't notice many other, like, it's not a, like I guess I just have spent so much time in Europe, and Europe this year is just chock full of tourists. You see tourists everywhere taking photos, lines to get into places. It's actually really nice to go somewhere where there's virtually no tourists. So yeah, keep that in mind. If you're here just for tourism, you just need one day basically and you're done. Small thing, but roads are bumpy. Yeah, I was asking, I mentioned it to a few local Filipinas and they said, I said, is it the car suspension or the roads? And they're like, it's the roads. So I just noticed that when I was like riding in in the back of a Grab and you're just rumbling around while you're trying to read your phone, it can get kind of annoying. Obviously not a deal breaker, obviously, with coming to Manila, but just something to note. And the stupid levels of building security, I just don't understand it. Like, to get into RCB Plaza where the WeWork is, I have to go through two security checkpoints. They want to put my bag through an x-ray, but then they still let me carry my wallet and phone through the normal metal detector, and if it beeps, they don't do anything about it. So it's kind of seems like it's not that, I wouldn't expect that to be that effective. And what are they testing for anyway? It's just something that you'll notice in Manila, like almost every building has a security guard out front. So my condo has two doors, one at the back and one at the front, and it has security on it, each door. And some of the times they ask you to wear a mask, which is, you know, obviously annoying for me. But here at the condo, they've stopped asking me because I just don't do it. So yeah, you're going to see lots of building security, and that's, I mean, obviously you guys coming here aren't going to be a threat. So maybe the security is a good thing for you because it makes you feel more safe. But the most annoying thing with building security is the masks. So yeah, that's another point on the mask thing. And then the final thing I would say in my list of impressions would be the language barrier. You know, I didn't really have any expectations with it because I know we're in Asia and, you know, I'm not expecting people to speak my language. I've spent the majority of this year in countries where English is not the main language. But I've been told in the past, or told before I got here, that English, everyone speaks English here, and that you know, there's no language barrier. So I wasn't expecting to have so many language problems here. It's interesting, people do speak English, and I speak English, obviously, but then when we're talking, our accents get jumbled, and they can't understand my accent, and I can't understand their accent. That's the big issue. So, it's not a huge thing. I would just say that even though English is well spoken here, there still can be miscommunications, is all I'll say. But then the best part, obviously, is all the written text that obviously involves no accents. So every sign and every menu and everything is in English. So you'll never have any issues with reading stuff as an English speaker. So that's really good. Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the relevant areas you're going to want to take note of being in Manila in this sort of era, this post-pandemic era. Obviously, COVID, still a thing here in Manila, unfortunately. I already mentioned the masks thing. Masks are basically mandatory almost everywhere. It's just a matter of where you can get away with not wearing one. So I've managed to get to a point now where building security here at the condo don't ask me to wear one. But if you go into any mall or high security sort of building, or even just like going into a bank branch to get money out of an ATM, if there's a security guard, they're going to tell you to put your mask on. So that's one of the things. And then the other thing, which I haven't mentioned yet, is the vaccination thing, which, you know, is not a bother to me because I am vaccinated, but it could be a huge problem if you aren't vaccinated. So just to let you know, my building that I checked into required me to show my proof of vaccination. It's almost become a thought that I've forgotten now because, like I said, I am vaccinated, but yeah, that could have been a huge problem if I wasn't. And it's funny, a lot of venues unexpectedly just ask for vaccination. Oh, can I see your vax record? And I'm just like, whoa, like most places you go to do not ask. And then just some ones that random places, like, that it's not like the nicer venues ask and not the nicer venues do it. It's just like completely random places ask you, end up asking you for vax, which doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe there's just some venues that enforce it more or are more susceptible to being cracked down on than others, or, you know, it's just their choice. I don't know. But just so you know, some of these places in Manila still ask for vaccination status. Let me take a swig of water and then we can talk about the next area. All right, cool. So something I value a lot is the digital nomad community, and it's basically non-existent here. Obviously, digital nomads do come to the Philippines, and I'm sure there's a lot of online workers here from other countries, but they don't seem to be arranged in any community, at least as far as I can find. I checked on Facebook. There's not a Manila Digital Nomads Facebook group. There's a Digital Nomad Philippines group, but it's not moderated and just most of the posts are spam. Nomad List, I'm in the channel for that and it's pretty dead in there. And just naturally, I haven't met any digital nomad guys apart from my friend David Bond, who's already here. So he doesn't really like connect so much with the, you know, the digital nomad community in the traditional sense that I do. But he is technically a digital nomad. And so he's here. And I actually bumped into a follower of mine. Shout out to Chris, if you're watching this, in BGC. So there obviously are remote workers here, but it's not an organized community. It's not easy to connect with these people. So that's a consideration as well. That's basically all I had on this list, guys. It's going to be a shorter one today, which I think is good. You don't want to hear me babble on for too much about Manila, but just to summarize and give my overall thoughts on Manila, it's a bit of a hard sell, to be honest, because you've got other cities that are similar to Manila in terms of, like, you know, size and, you know, what it has to offer, but you've just got options with more to offer on top of what Manila has to offer. And one of the big issues is the internet, you know, like, you know, I feel like, you know, it's not horrible, but when you have spent so much time in Thailand and you get accustomed to that, you become a bit spoiled, and you see how much, you know, how you can find a place like the Philippines with great internet. It's called Thailand. And that's a big reason why I hadn't come here before, you know, because to me, the Philippines seems like, you know, Thailand with shittier internet and like worse, like infrastructure. And, you know, I am impressed overall with Manila being a cleaner and more developed city than I thought it was going to be. Like I said, I think the reason why people don't come here is not because there aren't nice areas. It's just because there's nothing touristic to do here. It's a bit of a hard sell to come to Manila. Obviously, if you are traveling through to the islands, which is not something I did on this trip, You're probably going to have to stop over in Manila. So yeah, get out of the airport, maybe take a few days to explore the city if you want to. But I really can't necessarily recommend Manila for any specific purpose, because you do have those better options in Southeast Asia. And all of that talk about Thailand brings me to my next destination, which is going to be back to Thailand. So I'm excited about that. I am going to be flying to Bangkok tomorrow from when I shoot this video. So by the time you're watching this, I will already be in Thailand. And by the time I reach Bangkok, that's going to be 130 days since I was last in Bangkok. And I've literally gone around the world in 130 days. So I'm going to make that the theme of my next video, just to recap the Europe trip, because this year has kind of, there's a few stories through this year that have kind of woven into a central theme that I'm just going to create a video about. And I think it's like, for me, it's like symbolic that I'm coming back to Chiang Mai after leaving it for Europe, and just kind of going full circle, both figuratively and literally. So stay tuned to that. Stay tuned to the main channel for that, youtube.com/ChrisTheFreelancer. And also, I'm looking at spending a whole month in Phuket and doing a review of that place as well. I've obviously been to Phuket before. You've seen that possibly on the channel. I've been to Phuket twice, but I screwed up both times and went to Patong Beach, which I'm not a fan of at all. So I've got some recommendations for other areas in Phuket, and I want to give Phuket another go. And so if you want me to do that, if you want me to just, if there's any recommendations you have for Phuket or anything you want me to discover and relay back to you about Phuket, let me know. So that's the plan at this stage. And yeah, leave a comment and just let me know what you think of this podcast. Let me know if you want me to do more of these videos. I can cover other topics as well. As you can see, this is very casual. I'm not editing this video. It's just me chatting. And so, yeah, it's very free-flowing, and I can talk about anything on here. So let me know if you have any requests for specific content. But otherwise, guys, I will see you on the main channel, and I will see you next month in Thailand. All right, catch you on the next episode. Bye.